front and back.
There is a big obstacle there, Maharaj. There was a big obstacle.
Just being careful. I'm just being careful. And I've seen people not be careful.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava.
Paramahansa, Hari Vidya Charaja Asya Kapta Sankhya.
Srimad Divine Ki,
Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Sita Prabhupada Ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Gaur Premanand. This Krishna conscious process is very nice. Every day we dive into the holy name, and every day we see the deity form, most every day. Depends on where you are. Every day we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Otherwise we don't see each other much.
We've got big coverings, isn't it? Bhurijan says, you know, the Cheto Darpana Marjanam, how many miles thick of dust is there to cleanse from the mirror of the mind?
Three miles?
How much? Who can say? But we're Cheto Darpana Marjanam.
We're trying.
And where we ended up yesterday, I want to touch on it again because I found it particularly nice. And that is, Krishna touched his foot to the serpent and voila. Now, we say, when the Brahma Samhita prayers, we say, Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti, which means any one of his indriyas is the same as any one of the other indriyas, his senses, because he's absolute. So Krishna didn't need to place his foot on the serpent. He could have simply glanced at him, which he did. But he went an extra measure and displayed part of his intention. We hear from the introduction of this chapter that Krishna wanted to display his opulences to those that were at this Ambikavana place worshipping. So he did what he did. He had multiple intentions, but that was one of them. And when Krishna wants to do something, bhavati, it happens. So we heard yesterday that, I'll just read the last, this remarkable touch is also seen in the case of the transformation of the bodies of Kubja and the weaver of Mathura. So we certainly know about Kubja, but the weaver of Mathura, what was the touch of Krishna? It wasn't his touch, it was his glance. And then we read the BBT translation of what was the exchange between the two. I'll read it again. Being pleased with the weaver, the Supreme Lord Krishna blessed him. His sound vibration, he would achieve the liberation of attaining a form like the Lord's. And that while in this world, he would enjoy supreme opulence. Supreme opulence means the opulences of Bhagavan, specially empowered entity. Just because Krishna said it. Physical strength, influence, memory, and sensory vigor. And then we read, because this is Jiva Goswami's comment, that the remarkable touch is also seen in the case of the transformation of the bodies of Kubja and the weaver on Mathura. So we read, I'll read it again, it's nice. Gopal Champu. One weaver with the best qualities made an outfit with ornaments and cloth, suitable for sporting as the best wrestler. The weaver did not come to Vraja for fear of Kamsa, but he had heard of the great happiness of Vraja from his companions who had gone there and returned. Thus, he was anxious to see Krishna. Utsahan, contemplating, when will that day come? Kabhi habi bolo se din amar. I want to see Krishna. Then something astonishing happened, which no one had seen before. Krishna gave him a form similar to his own. When Krishna glanced at him, Krishna's beauty entered his body. He took a form like Krishna's. And the form of Krishna did not leave him. We praise this assumption of Krishna's qualities. And then we read, the oil bug absorbed in the wasp became a wasp. Will not a person absorbed in Krishna quickly become like Krishna? I offer praise to that weaver, the chief among them. Offer artik and put my head at his feet, because he put the most splendid, colorful sewn cloth and ornaments on Krishna and Balaram. So that's what we read yesterday. So I was 2 points. It wasn't his touch, it was his glance, but his foot and his eyes worked the same because senses are interchangeable. Now, that's kind of out there. It's not our experience of senses are interchangeable, but Krishna's senses are different than our senses or our experience. And there's so many nice references to the power of Krishna's glance. Here's a couple of them. Here's three of them. You know, Krishna's sidelong glances. That's all it took. Seeing the gopis, and he's passing by the coward boys, and he looks at, you know, like young boys and young girls may do with one another, the sidelong glance kind of thing. So it wasn't just, this is an imitation of that. And when Krishna's glanced, his glance entered their eyes, entered their hearts, and their hearts melted. But it was not just, he loves me, but he entered their hearts by his glance. We hear something quite similar when Krishna was returning from Hastinapur to Dwarka after the Kurukshetra battle, etc. And then the ladies were up on the rooftops because they were, you know, behaving in a cultural manner. But they were looking at Krishna with longing eyes. And Krishna, he glanced at them. And as Krishna glanced at them, the Bhagavatam, this is Canto 1, says, through their eyes, Krishna entered their hearts, and in their hearts, they embraced Krishna and felt the same satisfaction as if they had embraced Krishna with their arms. Krishna's eyes are very powerful. There's different versions of Ramayana, as you probably know. But one of the versions of Ramayana was when Ram became angry at Sumudra that for not helping, not coming to respond, he glanced. Now other versions say he fired an arrow, but some versions say he glanced at the ocean. And the ocean began to boil. I mean, those of you that cook, you know how long it takes to boil a pot, to make some rice or whatever you're... Turn the heat up, and you have to wait a while. What to speak of the ocean? And it boiled, like boiled. And all the fish were being tormented, and Samudra came. How powerful is the eyes? So his glance is sufficient. And I found a nice reference in Canto 11, Chapter 9, Verse 23. This is Uddhava Gita section, 11.9.23. Krishna saying, once, this is the translation of a verse, once a wasp forced a weaker insect to enter his hive and kept him trapped there. In great fear, the weak insect constantly meditated upon his captor and, without giving up his body, that's the insect, he gradually achieved the same state of existence as the wasp. Thus, one achieves a state of existence according to one's constant concentration. So there we are again about this concentration. Think about it when you're chanting your japa tomorrow. Purport. The following question may be raised. Since the weaker insect in this story did not physically change his body, how can it be said that he achieved the same state of existence as the wasp? Actually, by constant meditation upon a particular object, one's consciousness becomes filled with its qualities. Due to extreme fear, the smaller insect was absorbed in the characteristics and activities of the larger wasp and thus entered into the existence of the wasp. Due to such meditation, he actually took the body of a wasp in his next life. So in case you want to become a wasp, you know how to do it. So where the mind goes is really important. And, you know, we know minds are not very controlled. They're chanchala and bala, very strong, very stubborn. So we have a process to curb the restless mind. Some time ago, during one of the evening classes, there was an 8 or 9 year old girl that asked a question. Why do we observe fasting on appearance days? If it was Lord Nishingadev's appearance or something like that. And I said, so you get hungry. But you don't yield to the hunger because you want to control your senses. And if you can control your senses, you're more capable of controlling your mind. And if you can control your mind, then you can do your chanting in the morning nicely instead of getting restless when you're chanting your japa in the morning. It's not like just for discomfort's sake. It's not easy to curb the restless mind. So remember what the context of all of this, from the evening classes is how did Nanda and Jasoda achieve what they achieved. They didn't have to do anything to achieve what they achieved. They're eternal associates and they have that love. It just, that's who they are. And then there's us that aren't like that. So we may have to do something to achieve something. And this constant meditation upon something comes from practice. And it can carry us to our next destination. It will carry us to our next destination. But it takes a free will choice, not just saying, I don't like it here anymore. But it takes a free will choice to go to the position of bhakti that says Krishna should be pleased. And it's unfamiliar territory for a conditioned soul, but it's totally, absolutely natural for the soul who we're in a disease condition, and to get out of the disease conditions, we take some medicine and follow a diet and the physician's prescription. So the Vedas, that's what the Vedas are, that prescription. Try to fill our day in such a way that we're always thinking of Krishna. And our primary source to help us do that is our sadhana and the descending mercy. One other point I wanted to make, and that is, in the beginning of Canto 7, it's the whole of Canto 7 is Narada speaking to Yudhisthira. And the situation that brought about their discussion was in Hastinapur, everyone saw Shishupal achieve liberation. And Yudhisthira says, how is it possible? He's bad. And people that are good, they lifetimes that they don't achieve liberation. And he's so bad. How, can you explain? And his explanation is, even those who meditate upon Krishna in scorn and derision, this abhas, they're meditating upon Krishna. The object is, when the object is Krishna, they get relief. Now, his disposition right until the final moment was nasty. But his whole life, we hear from this section that we're studying, he was meditating on the form of Krishna and the activities of Krishna, the, you know, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna meditation. And when the Sudarshan Chakra came, he saw the Brahmajyoti. This is from this previous chapter 28 that we were discussing. The cowherd men saw Brahmajyoti and they saw the abode of Krishna. So when he saw the Brahmajyoti, that's what caused him to merge into the Brahmajyoti. Then, of course, returning to his position of Jai in the Vaikuntha realm by mercy. So in the rest of that chapter 1 of Canto 7, Narada says something curious. It's related to the wasp and the insect example. He says that what Kamsa and Shishupal did was more concentration commonly. When people are afraid, that was Kamsa, fear, and enmity, people just lock in on the object of fear and enmity. And it's transformational, so it's not recommended. That's not bhakti, that's unfavorable. But concentration is important. So we're not in enmity or fear, but concentration is important because it's going to determine all kinds of things, like what our destination is. And we heard earlier what particular form will be the position where we are. So that the whole of the cycle of birth and death, let's say religious people turn to God and they have different ideas of what God is, that's for sure. And then there's different destinations. So the Bhagavatam is helping us understand the very special position of the residents of Vrindavan. And by that hearing and meditation, we get closer to that position. we're studying the Bhagavatam, we get, you know, Krishna Tattva from the Bhagavatam, which is good. And then there's beyond that, the residents of Vrindavan. They don't need that. Okay, so now we're going to move on. We didn't finish. There's just two quick references. Again, this is to Bhagavatam 10:34:9, when Nanda was being attacked by the serpent. This is discussed between Prakashananda Saraswati and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone here knows Prakashananda Saraswati. So, Prakashananda Saraswati is speaking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Previously I spoke ill of you many times, Prakashananda Saraswati replied. Now, in order to free myself from the results of my offense, I fall down at your feet, unquote. He then quoted a verse from the Vedic literature which states that even a liberated soul will become a victim of material contamination if he commits an offense against the Supreme Lord. And then Prakashananda Saraswati quoted this Bhagavatam verse, 10:34:9, regarding Nanda Maharaja's being attacked by a serpent who had previously been a worshipable Vidyadhara. When the serpent was touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, he regained his previous body and refreed from the reactions of sinful activities. So that's the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a summary of teachings, five principal teaching sections of Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is one. So here's the verses and purport from Madhya Lila directly, starting with text 75, chapter 25, Madhya Lila. Prakashananda Saraswati replied, formerly I committed many offenses against you by blaspheming you, but now the effects of my offenses are counteracted by my touching your lotus feet. If a person who is considered liberated in this life commits offense against the reservoir of inconceivable potency, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will again fall down and desire the material atmosphere for material enjoyment. Being touched by the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, that serpent was immediately freed from the reactions of his sinful life. Thus, the serpent gave up his body and assumed the body of a beautiful Vidyadhara demigod. Purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:34:9. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, under the leadership of Nanda Maharaj, once went to the bank of the Saraswati on a pilgrimage. Nanda Maharaj was fasting and he lay down near the forest. At that time, a serpent who was formerly cursed by Angir Rasa Rishi appeared. However, because he joked with the Rishi, he was condemned to take the body of a big snake. When the serpent attacked Nanda Maharaj began to call, Krishna, help! Purport. Krishna immediately appeared and began to kick the serpent with his lotus feet. Due to being touched by the Lord's lotus feet, the serpent was immediately freed from the reactions of his sinful life. Being freed, he again assumed his original form of